up top. We're going up top. All the other formations, they surely have to stop. We're going up top. We're going up top. Jamie and Jordan, the bullshit never stops.
You're listening to the One Up Top podcast, hosted by Jamie and Jordan. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast and all of our social media outlets at One Up Top Podcast.
And a very big welcome back to this week's episode of One Up Top. Just like Oasis, Bowls are out of town and out of the cup for the time being. But we still have our eyes on what we are looking for at the end of the season, and that is a potential European place on offer. And all things considered, we've probably taken this position at the start of the season. I know there's been a lot of love lost to the cup over the last couple of years, but I am delighted to be joined by two men here to bring us through it now. Never saw regular Pete's in it, and a new podcast co-host, whatever you want to call him. A few people call you a few other things, Kev, that I won't say how annoying, but Kev Denny.
Podcast debutant, I was expecting.
Debutant, sorry, I think that's the footballing terminology.
Another one on the roll of shame for the One Up Top podcast. Another one will receive a libel letter.
A long list of names have gone to court one of these days.
Thanks very much, Jordan. Happy to be here.
Yeah, and this is another good football man. But I suppose, man, there's only really one place to start, and that's actually where you, Kev. How did you manage to get into Bowls? We'll just give people a bit of background and context. So
I started going off when my first ever game was when I was 9. It was actually through through the Sinnott's dad, Pete, who we all know is from Cabra and a lifelong Bowls fan. My first ever Bowls match was the 6-4 over in Santry, so it doesn't really get much better than that. I didn't realise then that the years were going to unfold, the misery that was going to come with it. But anyway, that's kind of where we are at the moment. And then kept going throughout my younger teen years. Good mate of mine, who I played football with and from where I'm from as well, his dad played for Bowls. So he used to bring us over on a Friday night and kind of kept going then. And then, and here we are now today.
Yeah, another long life suffering fan that's... you remember you saw it before with you, and you saw he was this fucking 40 or 50 year old Eastern European man in the stands. It was just you and your white head of hair since you're probably 20.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's me.
Yeah, haven't aged a day since I met you. But look, lads, Pete, you would have been probably known Kev since you're a bit younger. Any sort of background information on him here for the listeners?
Yeah, solid old skin. Always reliable. Doesn't miss a lot. And good man for a few points as well. So it's all good with Kev, yeah.
Yeah, I suppose I think of a highlight here for you, Kev. This is Hanta Cup final. Party night, I believe, that night, was it?
That was, that was a good night, all right, yeah. That was due to it to the Pats game, was it?
Yeah.
The infamous Cup final, we had a bit of crack that day.
I think you and Hino
shared
a room that night, I think.
And I was in the hotel room. Kev became a man that night.
Yeah, that was it, that was the start.
He earned a strike. Funny
enough, the last time he won a trophy as well.
Exactly, yeah, it probably was, to be fair.
Yeah, and I suppose that's what we'll kick into the games gone by. Starting the misery of what was the cup, out of the fucking cup, out of Imper Pete. I think I turned to you after 5 minutes in the match and I said, we're getting knocked out, they want them more, and it's clear as day.
I'll get the ramping and raving out of the way early doors, I suppose. I just felt it all week. I just felt it was a game we could have done without the timing of it. We just started to slow up a little bit. All eyes had been on the league and the European spot, and Sligo would start going well. I just smelled blood as soon as we get into the ground. Sligo were popping the ball around. We weren't getting at them. We didn't start the game well, and we just couldn't recover. We just couldn't get going. And it was all too inevitable when the goal went in, and we just didn't look like scoring even at that stage. The penalty was shambolic. The urgency wasn't there, and that was probably matched in the stands as well. I know the MBB had their display, but just the moaning and groaning, and just people weren't up for it, which was amazing, because I suppose that's something that we've all been mad for, like the cup, the last couple of years, and every cup game has really been treated like a do or die game that it is. But I just didn't sense it at all on the pitch, off the pitch. And as you said, I think we all knew after about 10 minutes this is going to be a struggle, and it turned out every bit of that. Really, really irritated by the performance that night. I was really disappointed. Like a great chance to go one step further in the cup and have another rattle at it. Really, really, really disappointed. It was like going back in time 7 or 8 months, looking at one of those limp performances from the start of the season. Very, very disappointed. And it just had me thinking that, you know, when it's really, really, really important to win. So I know we've won loads of big games, but we're going to have a lot of big games coming up now where you're just going to have to win them. Because if we don't win them, we'll be clawed up or we'll be swallowed up very, very quickly. And if that's a flavour of what's to come when we play better teams and really, really must win games, I'd be a little bit worried for us. But yeah, that the disappointment out of the way. It was a very, very disappointing night, very frustrating night. And I found it hard to shake it out of the system that weekend. Even with Oasis on the Sunday, I was still pissed off going up to the Daily Mount on Sunday. I didn't really want to go to Daily Mount. I didn't want to see the place again after Friday. But yeah, let's hope forms like that are few and far between, because again, as I said, we'd be caught if we perform like that against the better sides.
Yeah, I was fortunate enough I managed to get a ticket for Oasis Boat Nights, give my greedy guts. But it was probably a good distraction to have. I know you had to sit around all day Saturday and think about it. Sinner, I was back down on the Daily at 12 o'clock, banging your head against the wall for the first 10 minutes, and then it was just able to get into a bit of a buzz. So sort of good to get out of that way. But I think once the Oasis buzz wore off, I think it was Tuesday morning, we all came back down to earth. We realized, fuck, we're out of the cup. And then, of course, you see Sligo getting pulled out of the draw against Kerry. I know the numbers wouldn't have worked out that way, but that's the way I'm going to view it. Would have been Kerry away for us. Wasn't a deal. I know James Clark was out injured. Or sorry, he wasn't injured. He was sick all week. He lost 2 or 3 kg, I heard. True, basically illness. That's why he never played in the cup game. So that was, you know, it's a big loss. You paid him. Lucas James Taylor, I didn't think he did much. I know Dave Rooney's our set piece specialist, but we've got a fucking very highly paid striker who's highly paid to score goals. I think he should be taking penalties. Surely you have to back your star striker and your well paid man and your front man to be taking penalties. I know Rooney's not really put many wrong over the years, but I would have thought Douglas James Taylor would have been part of his agreement with Rennes on the
Listen,
penalty.
you give Rooney a pass for that penalty. He scored a lot of high pressure penalties, a lot of big penalties. You know, anyone can miss a penalty. And that wasn't the root of it, really. You know what I mean? Even if we had a score, I think we still would have been beaten. We just weren't at the races. And as I said, for such a big, big game, given what the cup means to us, given how close we've gone in the cup, and you know, it was a great opportunity to have a real go, especially on the back of the Derry game last year. Like the Derry game again was very similar. Just so disappointing in a big game. But yeah, listen, again, that's lucky we have the league. We've something to fight for the rest of the season, because if we weren't in a striking position in the league, I think season could very easily fizzle out. So we have to get back on the horse now and have a right go at getting into Europe, because that's the name of the game now between now and the end of the season.
Yeah, Kev, what did you make of the cup fiasco in the
Yeah,
end?
I agree what you said about Douglas James Taylor going on penalties. Like even just for a striker's confidence in general. I think it's definitely the thing to do. Like Rooney hasn't done much wrong with penalties, but just, you know, your number nine, I think, needs to be taking your penalties. It's a weird one with Bowes. Like you know in the first kind of 5 minutes what the game is gonna be like, you know? Like the way we started against Sligo that day, you knew it wasn't gonna be easy. It was the exact same with Sligo in the league game at 1-1. You know within the first 5 to 10 minutes what it's gonna be like. Which is frustrating because, like, it was a great draw when we got the draw. You know, when we got Sligo at home, you're thinking that that's a great, like, it's a great draw. If you're going to get a team that's in the top division, it's the best draw you probably could have gotten. And then, you know, yeah, it was just one of those games that was it never kind of got a spark. It never kind of kicked off. And then at halftime, you're thinking to yourself, well, I was thinking anyway, at halftime, you know, the first half can't be. Couldn't get any worse. And then 2 minutes into the second half, you get the penalty and you're going, here you go. And then you miss the penalty, and then it just kind of spirals out of control and gets worse and worse and worse. So yeah, one of those things. But anyway, listen, I think you just need to forget about it now. We've got, I know it's a cliche to say, but we've got what, 8 cup finals left, really, to do what we kind of set out to do at the start of the year. And you would have grabbed your hand off to be in the position at the start of the year or a few games in, you know, where we are now. So, I think we just need to focus everything on the league, you know.
Yeah, but
I
we've no
think in
other option
hindsight,
now.
yeah,
Everything
I
is
think in
we're all in.
hindsight, when we all thought Sligo was a great draw, I just wondered in hindsight, would it have been better off getting a Rovers at home, getting the Pats at home, even getting the Shells at home when they're wrapped up in Europe. And you just know the place is going to be bouncing for a game like that. I think everyone took their eye off the ball, thinking about Gligo, and just didn't get the respect that really should have got that cup tie. So, but anyway,
Yeah, I
we'll move
remember.
on. What's another year to do?
I was in the coffee shop, and Booker walked in actually a couple of hours after the draw was made. And he goes, "I just see Sligo in the cup there," and I told him, I said, "Don't really fancy this. We have the leg over them in the league, and you know the cup can often be the flip side of it with the team that you beat in the league all the time. You can often lose them in the cup, and it seems the case." Another thing I thought was a bit bizarre: people having the team selection. I know it wasn't full strength, but I think it was a bit bizarre in terms of people having a go with Talbot. I don't think he'd done necessarily anything wrong. I don't think Cashel would have made any sort of difference to how he played out from the field. I thought it was just a weird and attack, just an attack someone sort of case. But yeah, we did move on to Friday night in Cork, and it was another one of those that I think all of us had that bit of a feeling and a bit of PTSD from the start of the season, where you're kind of half dreading that Cork game in terms of what possibly could have came out of it. Because in the Cork, you know, it was a great win we got, but Cork have gotten results recently, in fairness to them. You know, they got a draw up in the Brandywell. They've held Shells recently. They've held Pats recently. They're kind of thinking now it's our turn to get picked off here. But, you know, you couldn't really fault too much in terms of performance.
Yeah, back on the horse, but again, it's a game that we simply had to win, and it's a game that if we are looking to get to Europe, we're gonna have to win those games. You'd imagine Shells, Pats, Derry, all the chasing back are gonna put Cork away. So yeah, it was a game we had to win, and we done it. It wasn't without a few frights, and it wasn't without a little bit laboured at times, but job done, and back on the board, back with 3 points. So. Just unfortunate, probably how the other results panned out, and probably took the glass off it a little bit with the late goals in Drogheda and the late goal in Galway. But it's 3 points nonetheless, and another game ticked off. So, as Kev said, 8 more cup finals to go.
Yeah, Kev, anything stand out to you on Friday? Anyone impressed you, or just in
No,
general?
we were very good in the first half. I know Reynolds came out and said it's probably the best first half display he's seen. I think the Rovers game was better, but yeah, like it's one of those. We're 1-0 up at half time. You're just calling out for the second goal. We still can't seem to kind of finish these games off early when we're meant to. Like the second goal that we scored the other night wasn't until the 85th minute, and it's only comfortable with 5 minutes to go. Whereas it's a game that should have been comfortable with 25 to go. Do you know the kind of way? So, like, we need to kind of finish these games off. But yeah, no, overall, the team played well. As Pete said there was a couple of scary moments. You're gonna get that with Bowes, but no, yeah, listen, it was a must win. We, you know, there was like it was a non-negotiable to win that game, and we did. So that's the main thing.
Clark's still struggling. Like I know Parsons played ahead of him. I just don't see in what world, if everyone was right, that Parsons would start ahead of Clark. Presume he's still carrying a, or still on the back of an illness, or
Clark came on in the last couple of
yeah.
minutes against Cork, so I'm assuming he's okay now with another week, I'd imagine. I don't know now, but I'm just
Yeah,
from
you got an assist as well for the void at the end. It was actually a good bit of play as well, and
brilliant, yeah, fantastic.
you know that's what we need. I don't think someone said it to me. I was chatting to a young Keith Fitzsimons that does the vlogging with his young flick, the Irish Football TV, and he said he watches quite a bit of Drogheda. I think they gave him a season ticket, and he goes up there and watches a little bit. But he said Taylor seems to play better in the two than he does in the one, and I thought that was a bit more evident when you know Tierney was a bit closer to him at times, and even the game against Galway, it was him and Clark nearly playing as a two up front. And even you've seen against Sligo, he just looked very isolated in that cup game where it was just him and up his own. I think it's probably important we get someone alongside him, or at least high up the pitch in that sense. And I think Clark is probably the man. I think we probably should be told Clark will be gone at the end of the season. That's very unfortunate. I'd be throwing the kitchen sink and how I'd be fucking a few players out to
Out of
make
him
up them
before he
wages.
goes. Like let's get every last ounce out of him if he is gonna go. You know, like we talk about it on this podcast numerous times how good he is, and we're just a better team, we're a better balanced team with him in it. Like Parsons, listen, just hasn't happened for him for whatever reason. He's had a couple of good touches, a couple of glimpses of how good he can be, but he's not doing it. And you know, we have to be ruthless. We can't keep giving him chances. Clark, if he's right, listen, I don't know whether he was right to start the game last week, but if he's right, he has to start in Sligo, and Parsons has to be the fall guy there because we need everyone firing, and we need people that are going to deliver with all these big games coming up.
Yeah, Kev, what have you made? Why would you be your man there, Clark or Parsons?
We have to go Clark. Like, you know, I actually like, I do actually like Parsons. Like obviously he was great in the Aviva in the very first game, and injuries hasn't, you know, done him. Obviously he hasn't been any no luck with injuries and stuff like that. But yeah, it's like, if Clark's gonna go at the end of the year, you know, it's 8 games in a run in. We need to use him as often as we can. I hope he's back fit now for this weekend. Coming on, I know it's only the last couple of minutes, but coming on last weekend is obviously a good sign. So hopefully another week kind of recovery for him, and he's brand new this weekend, you know.
Yeah, I think it says a lot about Parsons' season bows when his best moment was Ronald Lopez in the very first game of the season. So, you know, he's been injured a lot. But even then, Reece Brennan's had better moments than him. And, you know, and he has played probably just as much football over the course of the season. I think he's going to have to do a lot more. And I would imagine he's contracted the next season. And Reynolds obviously likes him. He keeps playing him. He keeps giving him a chance. And he was a Reynolds signing. So, but you're hoping he can get it out of him. But at the same time, you know, fucking, if you're not cutting the mustard, you fucking get off the bread.
It's a multi-year deal. Like, it's not as if his both career is over, but like, I suppose the simple point of the matter is that, like, if him and Clark are both fit, Clark has to start. Doesn't mean he won't have a part to play. It doesn't mean he won't be coming off the bench, but we need our best players on the pitch now at this stage. It's not a case where you're trying to get Parsons playing. We need everyone fired. We need everyone on the pitch and go from there. Like, as I said, he can go back stronger next season, but we need Clark on that pitch. Because he's our talisman, and as I said, we're a better team when he's playing, and when he's playing well, we look so much better.
Yeah, and I think just in terms of back onto Douglas James Taylor, of course, to the tune of Viva Las Vegas. But Taylor got the first goal. It was great to see. I know he was only probably playing against Youngfellas and Cork, are basically a fourth division team masquerading as a Premier Division team this year. But you know, he just bounced off the defender and put into the top corner, and then if the first goal was a great take, that'll do his confidence a world of good. But we probably really need him now to stand up in the last 8 games against the bigger teams. I know he's done it against a limp Galway and a limp Cork, fairly anonymous against Sligo. But now he really just has to fucking, he's had his injuries, had his layoff, hit the ground running now, and, you know, full strength and try to get another 3 or 4 goals for the running.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you know, he needs like any striker will say, goals give them confidence. So scoring 2 goals there last week is brilliant. And if we can get another few goals out of him in the next couple of games, you know, that could be the difference, you know. So yeah, long may it continue.
Yeah, Pete, what's your take?
Again, like what you said, he got goals, which is great, but we want big goals in big games. That's what we brought the striker in for. You know, we want the goal in Sligo. He could have got us a winner in Talca, truth be told. But big goals in big games is how strikers are judged at this club, you know. It's all very well racking up goals at home against the lower-ranked teams, but we need derby goals. We need big goals away from home. We need goals that are going to get us into Europe. And that, as I said, that'll be how we be defined. That'll be, you know, that'll show whether he's been a success or not come the end of the season or come the end of next season or whenever he decides to move on. But listen, the signs there, there's definitely green shoots. He's getting stronger. Like, he looks like a footballer. So I'm confident that he will do it. But now's the time to show it.
Yeah, I suppose the rumour has it he's all the qualities. He's just a complete and utter top professional. He's obviously coming through the ranks of football academies in England, a bit different to the ones obviously here. So apparently he's full-on professional footballer off the field in terms of what he does and in training. But, you know, then again, that's what we're also paying him for. So, you know, again, hopefully
like yourself in the podcast game, just the ultimate professional.
Yeah, yeah. People don't realise me and you do phone calls during the day to go over and pre-run these things. But, yeah, look, man, we'll move on to another couple of things around Bohemian Football Club. Liam Smith is the part of the club. It probably never really happened. When he came originally, the first 10 games or so, he looked like a good player and a very shit Bohemian team. We sort of picked it up, and he's found himself, you know, second choice to maybe a Morahan, a fullback at times. Not idea that we've officially got no fullbacks now after a couple, 2 or 3 windows trying to get one in. So I'm not sure where we go from here. I assume it's Morahan right back to the end of the season. And to be honest with you, I think that's been his best position for us.
Yeah, he's been brilliant this season, a right full. More like that's Morahan, I'm saying. I was looking earlier on, you mentioned about Liam Smith playing the first kind of few games in what was a very, very bad start for us. But when we went on that run there, when we had the whatever the wins in a row or the 8 wins out of 9 or whatever it was, he didn't really feature at all. And then it's only kind of the last few weeks that he's played again. So yeah, it's a bit of a it's a bit of a strange one. I don't know kind of what happened or where he's linked to. I know he's gone back to Scotland. I'm not sure where he's linked, if he's linked with anyone yet or what's
happening. St. John's.
Is that where it is, yeah. But like, yeah, it was obviously kind of more him, because I can't imagine Reynolds at this stage of the season wanted to lose anybody. So, yeah, it's an interesting one. But, yeah, only time will tell, really, to see if kind of what difference would have made. But, yeah, for me, Moran would have been our first choice rifle.
A bit of a gamble, I think. Like, I've always thought he's been a solid player. When he came in last year, I thought he was a very decent player. The fact that St. John's want to sign him, prepared to sign him, we'll probably back that up. Yeah, probably have Bucco for cover, maybe at right full, but I just think it leaves us a little bit short. As you said, we don't have a recognised right back at the club now.
Or left back.
Or left back, yeah. So unless they're going to bring someone in, a free agent in, I don't know. But it seems to leave us a little bit tight. If we got an injury in that position, we might struggle a little bit. So, yeah, let's hope it doesn't bite us.
I know James Brown's humming around. I know Pat and Derry were fairly heavy enough in from before our window ended. He's still a free agent. He's still looking for a club in the UK. I think he's, from what I heard, he's willing to take the pay cut to stay in the UK because, you know, you're on the ladder, the visual ladder. As such, rather than being back in Ireland, it's probably the end of him for his UK career. But even then, like ultimately, we're not in the cup, so we're signing a player for 8 games. We're not going to be playing every week. We're going to be essentially, there's going to be, what, quarterfinal, semifinal, 2 free weekends, essentially. Possibly more people, you know, you'll probably touch on later with the European games, what games going to be moved. We'll touch on that in a bit. But yeah, it does leave us short at the back end. You know, we seem to have Alex Lacey back now for his swan song of his football career. So it'll be interesting to see, will he feature now between now and the end of the season? But
that's the thinking, maybe. Yeah, that's probably the thinking, that listen, if Lacey's back, Lacey can fill in at right full. And we've covered there in that regard. Like, there's no doubt Moran is the main man there. He's going to play. He seems bulletproof. And the preview said he was carrying a hamstring injury, and then all of a sudden he started the game on Friday. I don't know how you can have a hamstring injury and all of a sudden you're playing. If your hamstring's gone, your hamstring's gone.
I think Reynolds having a game of GAA where he just names the team and it changes then before kickoff.
So listen, let's hope everyone can stay fit. And as I said, if Lacey's the answer there, or Reynolds thinks Lacey can fill in, listen, we'll trust him on that.
Yeah, and I suppose if player you touched there that can play in right back, Keith Buckley made his 300th Bohemian appearance. Not many reached that mark, particularly not in this day and age. I know we had a little holiday in Bray in Australia in the meantime, but that's something for any player to remain at a club like Bowes for that amount of games, despite being broken up over time.
Yeah, it just shows, like, you know, the career that he's had. And I suppose, like, obviously the injury and stuff that he had last year to come back, and, you know, for a lot of people his age, that injury would have been kind of career-ending stuff from a football perspective. But even when the injury happened, like, you know, talking to anyone about it, like, the first thing they said is, I know, Bucco will be back, you know, just so it just shows kind of the character that the man is. And yeah, he's obviously been brilliant for Bowes over a good few years spell now. I know there was a sabbatical there, you meant there, the Bray and the Australia holiday for a while. But yeah, he's been a top professional for Bowes, obviously, since he arrived.
Yeah, I just thinking back to his injury. Was it Pats in the run-up to the cup final that he got injured in?
And it was him and Forrester together, clashed together.
Forrester, yeah, I think everyone's heart broke from that night, you know, and probably our chances of winning that cup final went up in smoke when he came off, because he was flying at the time. But Bucco's been fantastic for Bowes. Like, he's brilliant, and a gentleman as well. I think most people have bumped into him and had dealings with him at some stage. He's a gentleman, so... yeah, what the future holds, I don't know. What's left in the legs, who knows? But I think he'd be at the club for the next couple of years regardless.
Yeah, it's, as you said, Pete, I've bumped into him many times, you know, whether it be the coffee shop after a match or, you know, just general chit-chat at the end of the season when we're all gargled and he's there with a 7-up free in his hand. But, yeah, he's a top professional. As you said, he's always going to come back from that injury, Kev, as you said, and... You know, I think you probably we'll get another year or two of them. I'll just be fucking gutted if you know, him and Detta managed to retire with a bit of silverware attached to their name. I'd be quite disappointed. It reminds me a bit like Kieran Whelan retiring from the Dubs without an All Ireland.
get the cup next year.
Yeah, it's there for us. It's fucking there for us.
When's the draw for the first round of the cup next year?
But look, we'll move on now to what is the run-in. As you said, fortune favours the bold, but unfortunately, the bold seem to be Derry and Pats on Friday night. We managed to pick up two last-minute winners, which the table really probably flipped for us. It looked like we had some sort of comfort, a two-game comfort. That's now not the case. We have another team right up our harvest. Pete, do you want to give us a bit of a breakdown here, the run-in?
I think we're going to need four wins as a minimum. I think that the Pats are going to come on really strong now. Last year, 2024, 59 points was third position. So that would leave us to get another 13 points. The year before, 2023, it was 62 points. So that'd be five wins and a draw. So I don't think there's room for error, a huge room for error. I know everyone has to play everyone once, bar the first series of games, but like you'd be looking at Sligo, Derry. I think we need to win our home games. I think we need to beat Derry. I think we need to beat Waterford at home. We've Pats and we've Shells. I think we need four wins there and then see what we can pick up on the road. Do not want to be going to Drogheda on the last day of the season on a Saturday night game, having to try and win up there to get Europe. The other thing I suppose that might open up for us now is that you have Pats and Rovers coming on strong in the cup, so you'd imagine the winner will come from one of those two. So will that open up for it? I personally think Pats are going to pick up the most points out of the chase and pack between now and the end of the season. I could even see Pats finishing second. They seem to have turned the corner there, and just even the win on Friday night will give them a huge, huge lift. But it's in our own hands. In terms of the fixtures then, like I suppose we've four Friday home games left and potentially four Friday games left out of the eight. If you look at Sligo and Drogheda are both Saturday nights. And then the Shells home game will potentially be a Sunday if they qualify for the group stages. And Pats, if they beat Galway, that will also be postponed. So you're looking at four more Friday night games, two rescheduled, and then the two Saturday night games. So there's your rundown, the fixtures. But yeah, I think we need four wins at a minimum. If you can aim to win the four home games and then pick up a couple of points elsewhere, that should do us.
Yeah, but I know, but I'm not sure what the point was for everyone else in the last 4 years. I know you're saying that whatever the 59, 62 were the previous years, but I'm not sure if they were as low as probably we were in the chasing pack there. Five wins out of eight is a lot of wins for a team to finish top three now when everyone has to play each other. I think if you've got three wins and three draws, it probably still equates to 12 points and you're picking up points along the way. But as you said, I think four out of eight and maybe get a draw again will be plenty to get maybe second. There's Pats going a freak run like they have done.
It'd be interesting to see how Shells react with Europe. Like, I'm not sure how many European games they'll have. I think they will have four out of the six games between now and the end of the season. So that's four Thursday, Sunday. But they could do what Rovers done a couple of years ago. They could put out a scratch team in the European game and then put their full strength team out and concentrate in the league in terms of trying to get back to Europe. That's what Rovers done to ensure they had Europe for the following year. So it's hard to know what way Shells will go. Derry, like that, Derry or anyone guess, like what way will Derry go? They were one losing Friday night, came back and turned around. But you wouldn't back Derry to beat anybody. Like,
no,
I could easily see the top. Yeah, I could easily see the top four being Rovers, Pats, Bows, Shells.
Yeah, like as you said there, Pete, in terms of Derry, like they could go beat us in Daly Mountain and then lose the next week against Sligo.
We're probably not even that bad
at that stage. But you know, Derry are just all flip floppy. But Kev, who was your worry here in the running?
So I kind of said it a couple of weeks ago when I looked at the fixtures. So like when we had Cork and we had Sligo, I kind of said we need to win those because Derry are playing Pats this week, then we have Derry, and then Derry have Shells. So Derry have a very tough run-in for the next three games on their side. So like we've done half that job of beating Cork last week. We need to win on Saturday. It's a huge game on Saturday. We need to win on Saturday because we've got Derry after that then. And then we've got Waterford you know, so like that's another winnable game on paper as well, which we should be looking at. So yeah, it is anyone's guess. Like we don't, like you don't know who's going to beat who. Everyone's playing each other. The one thing that we definitely don't want to do, and I feel it's going to happen, is we definitely don't need to be going to draw it on the last day of the season needing a result for Europe.
Yeah, I think this weekend is important, as you said, because, you know, either Derry or Pats have to drop points. So that means, I know everyone says that we still have to play them, but if we get a win on Sligo and, let's say, for sake, Pats and Derry draw, then those two are essentially two games to try catch us. Yeah. The remaining seven. So yeah, they have to win two.
Sorry, Joe. I'd rather Pats win that on Friday. For the simple reason that I think Pats are going to be there or thereabouts regardless. I think there's more chance of Derry being the fall guy. And then you also have Pats in the cup as well. So if Pats are to finish second or third, it opens up fourth spot as well. Like I just think Pats will win a lot more games than Derry. I'd rather let Derry kind of fall apart. But then again, both Derry have more points than Pats. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a catch 22 situation. Yeah, even like people were saying they'd rather they would have rather, you know, Pats to catch Drogheda or before the game Friday, just because they knew Pats are going to catch Drogheda anyway. And I was like, no, give us a bit of buffer zone there. But we can see how people can sort of think that way. But I think what's very important to note, and we should be fucking really looking forward to these, the fact is that we've got Derry at home, we've Shells at home, and Pats at home.
Pats at home.
We've got those three big games. The three teams who are behind us and chasing us are all at home. Plus, we've Waterford at home. We owe them a bit of a fucking smack in the arse after the last two wins over us. So, if we can win, I know you're saying if, buts, and maybes, and the fucking, if everything went well, we'd probably win the double this year. But that hasn't been the case. And I think we just have to make the home games count. If we can win two of our home games, which isn't a lot, really, when you look at the fucking teams we're playing, Waterford, we should be beating one of three of Derry, Pats or Shells at home. We can add that, and then, you know, winning Sligo, and then get another win on the road somewhere, whether that be Galway or fucking hopefully Italia, that'd be great. But, you know, I think if we can win the next game and win Derry, we'll have a bit of a buffer zone between us and fourth for sure, you'd imagine.
Do you know the thing about it is, and this is just my opinion, but like Derry are the best team I've seen in Daily Mount this season. I thought they were really, really good when they came to Daily Mount. I know they've been hit and miss since, but they're really good. They bossed us for a large part of that game. We got the early goal and we turned them over, but really good that night. I thought coming away from Daily Mount that night, I thought we were lucky to get the win and Derry be there, thereabouts. But yeah, you'd worry about Derry at home. Listen, you worry about every game with balls, but you'd rather have the teams we have at home. You'd rather have Derry and Waterford at home, right? Again, both extremely winnable. And then two Dublin derbies at home, which this season we've been absolutely fantastic in Dublin derbies. I think we've only lost one Dublin derby all season. So
we've lost away to Shells and away to Pats.
Away to Pats. So we've lost two out of what?
70, maybe now at the stage.
Played three of them. Three of them three times. So two out of nine. We've only lost two out of nine. So that's good. That's good. If we can keep that going. But yeah, the two boys at home, Pats and Shells, which probably won't be Friday nights the way things are going, still to have them at home, and then Derry and Waterford at home. Yeah, it's certainly in our own hands.
Yeah, Kev, I'm not sure what you've made of the fixtures.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. Having those three teams at home is huge. But like, you know, it's like the last three match days we have, Pats, Shells, and then Drogheda away.
Pats, Galway, Shells, Drogs.
Yeah.
Pats home, Galway away, Shells home, Drogs away.
Sorry, you're right. Yeah. So like, they're not easy fixtures at all. But yeah, it's just trying to keep that gap, I suppose. Like, obviously, we want to get second, but it's about just trying to keep that gap of third or fourth, obviously, depending on how the cup goes. But yeah, like all the teams are playing each other in the next kind of couple of weeks as well. So there's, like, you know, Drogheda Rovers away this weekend as well. So that's probably them dropping points as well, you know. So as long as we win on Saturday, and obviously it's going to be points dropped between Derry, Pats, and Drogheda as well. So yeah, just focus on that.
Yeah, I said we're counting down games now. If you can get a stage where you know, you can be two games, two results ahead of a team. I know that would mean they'd have to, they'd in their head they'd have to beat you and then better you in another result. That's fucking, you know, that's what 20%, 25% out of the last six, seven games or whatever percentage is. It's in and
Yeah.
around that. It's not exact, but you know, they'd have to fucking better at least two results than you
I
to
think
fucking be.
Friday was a big reminder of how quickly it could change though as well. You know, like before those two late goals in Galway and Drogheda, we were absolutely singing. We were humming, like, you know. Pats were down two and Derry were down two. I mean, that's like that would have been absolutely huge. It would have been pivotal almost, you know. That was just and then again we could have been level with Cork with a few minutes to go as well. So it can all change so quickly. But as you said, Jordan, a win on Saturday, I think, with Derry or Pats dropping points, that could give us a huge leg up in terms of knocking one of them out of it.
Yeah, I think just having a look at the table here now as we speak, I think we're 3 points as it stands. Like, fucking hell, this would have been a lot easier if we just beat Poxy Trotter a few weeks ago, wouldn't
Yep.
it? That just completely derailed all my giddiness. We're currently a point ahead of Derry and 5 points ahead of Pats. Truth be told, we want Derry to win. There's not if we can win, we'd be 8 points ahead of Pats with essentially. If buts and maybes, I know Chippy's going to fucking text me and say, stop being a positive cunt, we're just about above the ninth position. But if we can be 8 points clear of Pats come this weekend with six games to go, they're not catching us. I don't think.
Seven.
Seven. Sorry, no, they're on 41 and we are on 46 at the moment. So if we win and
No,
they lose.
in terms of games left.
Sorry, games left. Sorry, yeah, seven.
Yeah.
So I think 8 points clear of seven games to go was a big ask for it to turn around. When they have to play, they still have to play Rovers, still have to play Shells last game of the season.
And that thing that you said there a minute ago, Jordan, playing Pats from three games out in Dalymount, they'll have to go for everything. So
Yeah, and that.
that brings its own pressure as well, like, you know.
Yeah, so we can. This weekend is huge. Every weekend is huge, I suppose. But you know, it does start on it does start on Saturday, and man, I suppose we'll move on to the game. Sligo away. Is there anyone here partaking? Pete, I know you're away this weekend. You're going to a darts competition, I believe, in Edinburgh.
Yeah, Wayne Edinburgh with me mate. Dwayne Oak Stag Party. So a big shout out to Dwayne. There's the six or seven of us going over from Bowes, yeah. So we've managed to secure a watering hole on Saturday evening that'll show the game. Kitty O'Shea's. So if any Bowes fans in Edinburgh want to join us on Saturday evening, that's where we'll be. So yeah, looking forward to it now. I'm just hoping the match doesn't absolutely fucking spoil Saturday night's events. And there's men arrested. Men been taken away in cuffs from the stag party for altercation in pubs. But yeah, Dwayne's a good lad, proper Bowes fan,
I'll be on the
stag
podcast next
party.
week.
He'll be on the podcast next week. We heard that before now. But I might do a live from Edinburgh. Get him on, you know.
Kev, you heading down to the west?
I'm over in Edinburgh myself.
Oh, you're over.
I'm at the stag party myself, so I'll be part of the Kitty O'Shea's massive on Saturday evening.
Nice.
With the flag out, so yeah, hopefully, as Pete said, hopefully we can get the result we wanted to keep lads a bit sane on the Saturday night.
Yeah, so
Kitty O'Shea's BSC.
you'll be setting out the stalls early. We'll both be setting out the stalls early. So I know Reynolds was asked in an interview, is it revenge? And he said, oh no, it's not. I think there's definitely going to be a bit of those guns. We owed him one now, big time.
Yeah, and like do you know, obviously the Moose goal won it for us the last time down there. It's never easy going down there, and they've got a good record against us. Elding has scored what three goals in the last four games against us, so yeah, it's not going to be easy at all. But it's a must win for us, especially with the other fixtures around us, you know. So yeah, we have to just full focus on. I'm trying to get the result down there because it's a must win.
I wouldn't go strong. I think it's a must not lose. I think there's probably a little bit of wiggle room there with the gap we have, but definitely a must not lose with Derry the following week. Yeah, we've probably covered it all in the run in, but yeah, how we fitness wise, we're full bill of health, please God.
Yeah, it looks like Moran's hamstring injury healed up, so it looks like he's back in the squad. Lacey's back training.
Cornwall.
Cornwall, I think Cornwall. Did Cornwall play Friday? I'm trying to fucking remember. I wasn't even drinking Friday in them.
No, he didn't.
No, he didn't. Cornwall's been huge this season. I don't give a fuck what anyone says. A few people have had goals about coming back and he's not up to it. We've been fucked at Cornwall this season. He's been excellent.
I don't know what to, I don't know what's actually wrong with him. I know he's injury prone, but I'm not sure what's wrong with him this time. But he'd be a big player to bring back in, you know.
He got married recently, so that could be something to do with it. You wouldn't know. You're a married man. That's been a bit of a handicap in your sporting career over the years, I think, has it?
She won't be roaring at him down in Cork. Don't do it. Don't do it. They went ahead and got married, so he wasn't listening to us. But no, Cornwall's been great. Yeah, absolutely. Just the injuries, you know. We just need to have everyone fit for the last eight games.
Yeah, and I think McDonald should be starting every week. I don't know what Reynolds was doing in that cup game when he played him left wing back at one stage. And McDonald's a lot of things, but he's not a left wing back. His best position and our best centre defensive mid. I think he's better than Morahan. He has the legs that Buckle probably hasn't got at this stage in his career. But yeah, I think he's the energy midfield.
Yeah, like we've had a good look at Sligo now in Daly Mounts. We know how good Sligo are, so there'll be absolutely no complacency. And again, we want to turn them over, and that's the way footballers are wired up. They'll want to get one off. Over the map again, beating the cup, so it's a huge game. No, we don't need to tell anyone who's listening how big the game is. I'm sure it'd be a big travelling support going down, and get behind them from the off, and we'll be getting behind them from Kitty O'Shea's. But yeah, if we can get a win, it'll set us up nicely.
Okay, would you go ahead with McDonald centre defensive mid?
Yeah, I think he needs to be in the team. I think he's been very good this year, very consistent. So, yeah, definitely, 100%.
Yeah, hard to say that. We were against, and no, Sligo's a tight pitch. I don't really want to see Parsons on it. I know the weather's been good lately, and basically the whole summer's weather's been good. But, I mean, you know, that pitch isn't made for wingers to be fucking, to spread their legs, you know. It's a tight pitch. It's not the Daly Mount. It would be down, moving land and fucking sea to get James Clark on that pitch on Saturday night.
Yeah, you know what the Sligo pitch is like, don't you?
Sorry?
You know what the Sligo pitch is like, Kev, don't you?
Yeah, I do, actually. Yeah, our friend Moose. Yeah, you can blame him.
I think I'd resign to the bar by that stage. The last day I went up there. But the Moose magic, we won't see that this time, but hopefully we see a bit of Bohemian magic in some sort of form and shape. Yeah, and Pete, what's your prediction now? Call for the rest of the season with eight games to go.
I'll be, what do I say every time I'm on? I say 1-0 to the big club. So I'm going to stick with my usual 1-0 away win, 90 plus 2, minor pitch invasion and jubilant scenes in the away end. In terms of the bigger picture, I think we will get Europe. Because if we don't, there's going to be meltdowns all over Dublin and beyond. We're all set up for it. It has to happen. Thick and tired of listening to Rovers, Shells, Hats, playing European games, going on European trips. We've been absolutely starved of it. Even the couple of years we had in Europe was during COVID. It was somewhat restricted. I know people travelled regardless, but we're absolutely dying for this. It's what we want. It's what we're longing for as supporters. The club needs it. The club deserves it. And if we can make that happen, it will have been a fantastic season. By hook or by crook, I think when we done the podcast at the start of the season, that was the tone of the conversation, to get into Europe by hook or by crook, by any means necessary. We have a great chance. Let's go and take it. And we'll certainly enjoy it. We won't disrespect it like Rovers do and bring 25 fans to an away game or stuff our faces with Carvery on European away trips. We'll go and we'll do a proper like we always do.
We'll get battered by a lot of Eastern European skinheads.
Yeah. Sure, listen, that's better than eating Carvery, isn't it? So,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Thank you for your service. Yeah. And, there's, of course, a few comments as well. I know we sort of linked in it there, but Reynolds' contract is up at the end of the season. Do we wait until then?
Yeah.
You think that we're... I don't think Reynolds will get a... I don't think he's getting a manager job anywhere in the league that will be as lucrative as Bowles, and certainly not as a first-team manager. It'd be probably second somewhere, so I think we should maybe hold off to the end of the season. But then again, that also leaves you in a bit of a hole too, so... Hopefully he can just fucking get the job done, get us qualified, win the next two or three games and just make his home and holes and let us enjoy the rest of the season. Kev, give me your little rundown of the rest of the season on Friday night. How does it all end? In tears normally now, in fairness. But...
Yeah, normally misery. So Sligo, I think we're going to win 2-1. I don't know why I think that, but I'm going to throw that out there. And for the remainder of the year, I'm very hopeful that we're going to get Europe. We have to get Europe. It's a weird one. Like you said at the beginning of the season, we did the podcast, everyone talked about Europe. And then obviously the run we went on at the beginning of the season, like we were nowhere near Europe. Now we're 8 games to go and we're second. Do you know, like we've taken some turn. So now the fact that we're second with 8 games to go, we have to get Europe. We just have to.
Yeah, I think there'd be some sort of minor embarrassment, probably even a major embarrassment if we're second by 8 games to go and we flop this and come fifth.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. Given like Pats have had their cup wins, Rovers have done this, that and the other, Shelby won the league, like we need to put something up as on the board, and get in Europe. I know it's not a trophy, but listen, it's the next best thing, and we're built for European football. It just has to happen. So yeah, it'd be nervous breakdown across the country if we don't get European football this year.
Yeah, I'll be looking for another visa somewhere around the world if you manage to fuck this up. I know Chippy's giving out to me about my positivity, but unfortunately, in a world full of misery at the moment, Pete, we do have to shine some sort of a beacon of light over the everlasting darkness of not just our world but the bowls world. I know we probably let a lot of people down in false hopes and empty promises, which is probably bowls and everything else that goes on in life. But you know, our fantasy this weekend, I think Friday was a big fucking kick up the arse. It was gave a bit of confidence, a bit of swagger back in our performance. My fancy is to go win 2-1. Clark has got a few goals against Sligo. He's got a couple of goals up there. I fancy him to get the win or set us on our way. Hopefully, there he can beat Pats, put a bit of lime, put a bit of light in between us. And
yeah, absolutely.
I don't think we're catching Rovers at this stage of the game. I think you're living in fairyland if you're still in that boat. But
if you look to be in the same division as them the way they're going, but we won't go there.
They might try to rejoin that Celtic league that they tried talking about a few years ago, yeah, with Celtic and the Scandinavians.
Definitely might get them into the Scottish league. You never know.
Yeah, so you know, that's the way it's going to be. We fancy us. I think this weekend. It feels like we say this every week that this weekend would be the final week, and it doesn't seem to be.
Yeah. Like I think if you played back all the episodes, you know, but that shows that every game is a big game. Like, you know, we're not going through the motions. We're playing in these games that are very, very important games. So that's the way you want it. You want to be the season to be on a knife edge. You want the club to be competing for these places. So it's good that we're saying that. But yeah, I think where we might rest a couple of games up early season as must wins and so important. I think this really is. This is where the games really, really, really start to have consequence. You know, you can claw back leads, you can claw back points. If you start tripping yourself up now and throwing silly points away and not turning up in games like we have done in the last couple of games, that's when it starts to hurt you. Pats seem to know how to win when Europe comes around. Gels obviously pulled the wins out of the bag last year. We're just going to have to match that because they will come on strong. There's nothing sure. So we have to win, as I said, what did we say, 4 or 5 games? 4 games and maybe a couple of draws. We just have to produce that 11 points because the others will.
Yeah, Kev, our big players have to stand up, don't they? Dawson Avoy, Ross Tierney, senior players now, no fucking messing about, lads.
100%, yeah, I think Rossi's due a couple of big goals. I think he's come out and said it himself that, you know, he's missed a couple and then he's had a couple of kind of, well, in his view, kind of under below par performances. But yeah, like Dawson's obviously been brilliant all year. Dale Rooney's kind of been off for the last few weeks. So yeah, it's time for those lads to step up. Your Rossi's, your Dawson's, your Dale's, and obviously Dougie come in now, and James Clark is brilliant as we know. So it's just time for the big players to kind of step up now in the final running.
Yeah, absolutely. And they said Bucko again. I think he's gonna play a huge role coming off the bench managing games. He seems to be torn a bit of a scapegoat for the usual suspects online, which, you know, fucking this is the last thing we need. People trying to turn on the club captain for moments, because he's been pivotal in a lot of big games and holding out results and, you know, lifting up the tempo in a lot of games that we've gone on.
Blowing the tempo down, yeah.
So, you know, fucking, we know there's a few jeers and a few bills after that cup game. Shake them off and fucking no more bills from here now to the end of the season. Fucking get behind the team. If they lose, they lose. Fucking don't turn on them. There's fucking 8 games left, 8 cup finals. And God willing, we won't play in Schalke because they won't be in Europe next year. I know people are playing them at the end of October. But, you know, hopefully we get that European much-loved, you know, lusted away match next July.
Yeah.
It's never a dull day with Bowls, isn't it? You turn on your phone and you go and check the internet and it's Schalke. When I looked at it first, I was Schalke away. Here it was. Get up, you boy. But unfortunately, it's a home game. I think I'm actually away on international duty that weekend. I think it's the weekend of the Portugal game. But it's a great day. Like, people bring their kids. It's 3 o'clock on a Saturday. Schalke will bring a big crowd. I'm sure the bars will be packed. So yeah, just good. Like some of the nonsense that was posted online today, you just have to laugh, you know. It's just never a dull moment with it. But yeah, the positives there. And as I said, should make a few bob out, which will keep us ticking over.
Yeah, and I said the fundraising, a few more tickets to be bought this week. I've yet to buy me tickets actually, but you know, hopefully I'll win that luxurious car or the 10 grand. That'd be nice. That'd get me out of fucking country. We do fuck this up. But lads, I'm going 2-1 Bowls this weekend. Thank you very much for your time. And as we do every week, I'm on the fucking Bowls.
On the big
Bowls. As we all follow Bowls wherever they play, we don't care if it's home or away. We are the Bowies and we're proud of our name. So we'll all bounce around and we'll sing it again.